Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 157. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit, and I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
It's good to be back. It's been a few weeks. I just returned from a trip to North Carolina. I had to fly out there and drive a car back, my new car. So it's been kind of an adventure over the last few days. I got to say, though, man, I wasn't in Raleigh for more than 15 minutes when my Tinder started blowing up. I just couldn't believe it. It was
No, I don't believe it either. Just stop there. All right. In today's show, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff going on. Fantasy football, it's going to make a comeback. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk to you about how you can get involved. We're going to talk about training camp. We got a big training camp party. The date is set. You can join us. That's going to be a whole ton of fun. We have some good guests, and we talk about Jimmy Ray, the Gronk rumors, and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
I think those Southern girls, Chris, they've got a case of the Case fever.
Yeah, I think they need a case of penicillin.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, needs a call out. And Brian B. from the band I Prevail. That's iprevailband.com. Awesome, awesome music. And Casey just told me they're working, they got some hooks ready. They're going to be working on a new album soon. So
aren't they going to be good you as a dancer in their video?
I will be a dancer in their video. They can't wait. They can't wait. So thanks to Brian B. for your big donation and all the great work you do with the show. If you'd like to join the crew, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast, and separate a buck from your wallet a month. Help the show out. Help us out. Help us do what we do, or more. You know, dollars a minimum, but some folks like to give more. So we give away some good insider stuff, and every now and then we put some special broadcasts together for the Patreon folks, some additional info. So join us and get access to that. And most of all, just do it because you love us and you love to help keep the show rolling. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter maker, it's @DETLionsPodcast, @DETLionsPodcast, the very best place to see Case.
With no pants on.
Wow. All right. Subscribe to us on YouTube. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. All our post game shows will be live there. We got that great new interface we use, and I think you guys will be really impressed. And we'll be doing some other things there as well. So join in on that fun and subscribe so you know when it's up. Don't forget about Podcast Play Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Thursdays. Look for the gamer tag, DET Lions Podcast on Xbox, and I'll be there. I'll play any game you got on Xbox One, and we'll have some fun. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. 5 stars only, nothing below. Give us your review. Let folks know what you think of the show. Lastly, give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions Podcast, that's one word, or you can call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. We're joined by an old friend, Roche. He loves calling in. This week, you can join us too. Just leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And Case, I've got something that I don't think you're aware of. This is one of those things that you've never been really good at, I think. But well, let me just kind of kick it out, and you'll know.
Happy anniversary.
How about that? You know what that means? No? Okay.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Yeah. 4 years in today. The day we record today, we are 4 years in on this podcast. Can you believe that?
It is difficult to believe. Feels like longer.
I hear that a lot. It's really crazy. We've been around a long time doing this, man. It's grown. We got a lot of good friends on the show, a lot of great people showing up, and that's not going to stop. We'll keep bringing home the bacon and bringing the great people to you. But congratulations, Case, on entering
Likewise,
year together, man. It's been a fun run. All right, so we'll move on from happy anniversary to talk about something else that's making a comeback in a yearly way. Fantasy football. We've got it going on. We've got the league that you guys remember. And it's not just a league. There's four different leagues that you can join. And there's money. You win money, right? We talk about this. This is a fundraiser for the show. We do it every year. But they're money leagues. You pay to get in, but you have a chance in first, second, third places in all the leagues except the beginner league. Beginner league is first place only, to win a chunk of change and call yourself the super champion. It's a great way to match wits against writers, myself, Case, the whole crew from the Detroit Lions podcast website, and see how you can do. So a lot of fun here. Good opportunity to polish up your fantasy chops. We'll have a beginner's league for those who haven't done it before. Very simple rules. We're going to have a standard league that's a little bit more for a little bit more experienced people, but it still has like a whole team defense. And then we're going to go into IDP, your individual defensive player standard league. And then, of course, the Champions League, of which I was so close to the top, so close to winning last year. And we've got a couple great leagues. So come to the website. That's going to go up this week. It's not up as this drops, but within just a few days of this show going live, you'll be able to the website, go on the main menu, click on Fantasy, and pick out which league you want to join. And you can check out right there. It's a PayPal checkout, so make sure you're ready for your PayPal stuff. And there it is. There's your chance to get rid of it. If you guys, you want to go IDP, you haven't done IDP before, check out our friends over at idpguys.org. They got a podcast and got a new website up there. They're talking everything you need to know to prep yourself for individual defensive player fantasy. All right. Can I talk about one more thing that's coming up, Case?
Please.
It feels very announcy, but these are like big, big things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Detroit Lions podcast training camp party is back. We finally have a date. We're locked in. I've got my tickets already. August 4th. Now, let me tell you why this is so brilliant on our part. Just this is the kind of stuff that the amazing minds here at Detroit Lions podcast think about when we put these things together for you guys. Does that sound self-serving enough there, Case? Am I doing
good? It was so modest.
So we've got a training camp, right? It's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th. No training camp on the 5th. And then again on the 6th, they have it. It's 9:30 in the morning. Can you imagine coming to a party at a bar and indulging and taking care of your liver in the way that only an overload of alcohol can do, and then having to be at training camp by 9:30 the next day? Nobody wants that. Anybody got time for that? So Sunday, when there's no training camp, we decided Saturday night's the night. Saturday night's all right for partying. Well, some people say fighting, but we'll say partying. Anyway, Saturday night, August 4th, we will be getting together, and it looks like it's the drafting table in Wixom again. It's in the Detroit area. If not, we'll have a place in Novi that we have on backup just in case. But those drafting table guys have always been great. So August 4th, that evening. No, if you're interested in still hanging out outside of those times, I'm going to be rolling around the 3rd, 4th, and 6th at minimum at training camp. So we can hook up there at camp as well. But the big party is the night of the 4th. Training camp in the morning, we might get together and do some joke around during the day. But then that night, live party, we'll do a live broadcast of the podcast from the location. We've got Eric Schlitt going to join us. Jeff Risden going to join us. Casey's still wobbling on it. He may not make it, but we'll see what we can do about scraping him off the bottom of the toilet bowl and get him to join us. There you go. Podcast training camp party is coming on the 4th of August. So with all that, You ready to go, Casey? You want to talk about football-y stuff?
Yeah, finally. No. So my annual make people upset way too early power rankings dropped earlier this week.
That's one of my, the reaction, the angry people is one of my favorite parts about that.
There is no way, no possible way, no possible way to order a power ranking that isn't going to piss off the majority of the people who read it. It just, there is no possible way to make a power ranking without making a good portion of the readers who read it upset. Even if I had put the Lions up at, you know, up in the top five, I'm not going to give away right now where I have them.
I think they, you gave away that you didn't put him in the top five.
I didn't put him in the top five. Then I still would have had, even if I put him at five, I still would have had some people who were angry I didn't put him at one. Of course, and that's only just talking Lions, you know, fans. I've already been in some arguments with somebody who was very upset where I put the Raiders. and some other teams.
Well, you're a little gun shy after last year, right?
I'm gonna run through them from bottom to top real quick. First of all, you can find them on the DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Okay, so we'll start at the bottom, and I'm gonna try to run through these real quick and not stop for most of them. But when there's a significant note, I do have the Colts coming in at third too. Now that is. When I wrote these, I did the initial rankings several weeks ago, and then I updated them a few weeks ago through editing and several you know times through to make sure that I had everything where I wanted it. And if I was doing them again today, they might not be there. But I do have the Colts at 32, and that is with the caveat that I'm far from convinced that Andrew Luck will be 100%, even if he plays. Early in the year, I'm far from convinced that he will be 100%.
I think that you're right with the Colts at 32. I really do. I just don't think that they're that kind of a team compared to 31 other teams in the NFL right now.
Right. And outside of the quarterback position, they might have the worst roster in the league. They're very, very close to the bottom.
Definitely suck at tight end. I mean, just suck ass.
they were bottom five, both in offensive and defensive scoring last year. Mm-hmm. It was just truly abysmal. And now, you know, Andrew Luck, if he is 100% and he's back, I would expect them to be a bad team, not the worst team in the league, but a bad team. So you can kind of, you know, if that changes, and it very well may, I don't know. It certainly seems to be trending towards him being better than what I expected. Ignore that I did that. Pretend that I have them about 5, 6, 7 spots higher. But anyway, number 31 is the Browns. They're still bad. They have talent. They just have bad coaching. The Jets are 30. They are bad. The Bills are 29. They're also very bad. the Dolphins at 28. For my money, the Dolphins have the worst front office in the league, and they have done this continual over and over and over again. And obviously, as Lions fans, we're somewhat familiar with this because they've done it with our free agents so many times by overpaying free agents to come in. And they keep them for a couple years and then lose them again. They have no real sense of consistency. They're near the bottom of the league in terms of skill position players on the offense. Their defense is losing major pieces left and right again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Sue. So they are not a good team. The Bengals at 27. They have finally, I think, stopped falling. But they haven't done anything to significantly improve either. A couple years ago, I predicted that the Bengals were going to start faltering after they lost Sanu and Marvin Jones, specifically because I felt that one of the best strengths they had on the team was the depth of their receiving core. And then they lost both of those guys in one offseason. And I said, I don't think Andy Dalton is going to be anywhere near as good this year because they lost, you know, they lost all their receiving depth. Mm-hmm. And I was right. And it's one of those things, like I truly do value the strength of your, you know, number two, number three, number four wide receivers. And I've talked about that, and it was a perfect, I will take some credit for a called shot on that one. But anyway, I do think they've stopped losing ground. They just aren't gaining it again. Mm-hmm. This one, not everyone agrees with. I have the Cardinals at 26. and Jeff and I have talked about it previously on the show that they have also lost significant talent over the last like 4 or 5 years from where they were at their peak. And I think that they have one of the least enviable quarterback situations in the league with Sam Bradford, who if 100% healthy is very good quarterback. But when you have a knee issue that's called degenerative and you keep trying to trot it out there, my faith in his ability to A, be, you know, 100% and B, even if he is what he is 100% at like now is not what he once was 100%. And I think that he probably doesn't have the mobility you want. They also have Josh Rosen, who they picked up in the first round and who I actually really like. I just don't, he's not a very good rookie option. I think it's good. He's going to take some development time. Not to mention the fact that I really think they have a terrible receiving core. Now, having David Johnson, I should say, you know, that pissed anybody who's a huge Larry Fitzgerald fan off. He's still really good, but he's like the only one. and they picked up a rookie who might also be very good, but he's also a slot receiver. So right now they have two slot receivers and nobody on the outside. David Johnson coming back could provide a significant boost for them. I just don't think it's enough. Their defense, they have a couple good, really good players. I just don't think they have the depth or the, you know, really any. There's quite a few positions that they have on defense where the top end of their roster isn't very good. Okay, I'm trying to speed this up. 25 is the Broncos. I don't think they're very good. Their aging receiving core and questionable quarterback situation combined for a less than.
What a precipitous fall they've had, the Broncos. I mean, from just in just a couple of years, from top of the pops to just way down, mired in the low 20s. It's just ugly.
Well, I think they you know, made a deal with the devil, and it was successful for them. They won a Super Bowl and had several successful seasons. But you bring in that many free agents, especially older free agents, and you're just going to have to, you know, eventually you're going to have to deal with that situation, and they're dealing with it now. I think if any team, if it can win you a Super Bowl, it's worth it.
Well, so. I think that probably when you look right down at it, John Elway was, I mean, in the words of Matthew Stafford, he just said,
"So it's all good."
And that was it, right? He just called it a day.
At 24, and a team that I do think is slowly improving, but it still has very solid, you know, ceiling that they're not going to rise above, and that's the Bears. We could talk about them the rest of the off season. I don't need to go too far into it now. I just think that they have a fair amount of talent on the defense there. But on offense, especially, there's still a lot that needs to happen to make that work. And if you're a believer in Trubisky, you might be angry with the ranking of 24. If you're not at all, you might be angry that they're too high. I have them where I have them because I would expect minimal, modest growth from him. The next one is a bit controversial. I have the Texans at 23. I know that's low for a lot of people. The Texans were really bad last year when all is said and done. And the only bright spot
injury,
was
that, I mean, injury is part of that, right?
Right, obviously. J.J. Watt's coming back. Now that said, JJ Watt has been injured multiple times now in the last several years. So if I had a guarantee that JJ Watt would be 100% and 100% for the whole year and isn't losing a step and everything that goes along with these significant injury issues with him, then they'd probably be a few spots higher. I don't have that guarantee. The other issue is Deshaun Watson, who incredibly small sample size, incredibly reckless, but somehow managed to pull a rabbit out of his hat multiple times. But that's not something that if you've, you know,
can't live and die that way.
Right. Exactly. And I don't see that as you'll see a trend, you know, in these power rankings and pretty much every year when I do my power rankings that I do not trust young quarterbacks or unproven quarterbacks, guys with small sample sizes of success. And I'm not buying it until I'm not buying it until I've seen it for longer.
Well, and just on the JJ Watt thing, if there was a skill in football that was the flip the tractor tire, that guy would be the monster, like big time winner all time. But unfortunately, he keeps getting injured. And as much as I love him as a person, as a personality in Houston.
I can't stand him.
Oh, that's too bad.
He drives me nuts.
He's really great. Does a lot of great things in the community. He's a real giving, wonderful kind of guy.
I get that.
But boy, I just don't know that. I don't feel confident that he can stay healthy anymore. I don't. Yeah. And that puts a team like the Texans. If it was the Lions, I'd you know, it's that terrible, terrible spot. Do you get rid of him? Do you get all the big treasure for him that you can get, and then find out that, oh, he's really healthy somewhere else and doing a great job? Or do you ride him and find out that he's never going to be healthy for a whole season again? Sort and you're only going like to for a couple games.
Yandre Levy.
Mm-hmm.
exactly. And then the next team on the list, with a very similar reason for them being much lower than other people may have them, is the 49ers. I don't trust what I saw out of Jimmy Garoppolo to maintain over an entire season, especially when I look at one of the weakest receiving cores in the league. I get why there's hype. He just got paid massively. It's crazy premature to me for a guy who played less than half a season to get the kind of hype that he's getting. And it wasn't even like his stats were that great. They won games, but his stats weren't that great. And to me, that means that, like, they will themselves to emotional victories. And if you go back to the Jim Schwartz era, we saw that that's not a sustainable thing for teams either. So that's my thought. And now there is, I do think Kyle Shanahan could be a very good coach for them, because I think he's an offensive genius. I don't know that he's got the head coaching chops to keep them on the right track. We'll
see.
Their
drafts have been interesting, to say the least, but we'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah,
Lynch is something that I was expecting far less from.
But. Oh yeah, he's certainly done better than what I would have expected. We thought we were going to watch the next Matt Millen happen. But next on the list, and this is one of the teams that I was very wrong about last year because I had them pretty high, was the Raiders. And I clearly, they fell off in a way that I wasn't expecting. They showed that they had one of the worst defenses in the league last year, despite the fact that they have some star players. I would expect that to level out a little bit this year. I would expect Derek Carr's play to level out a little bit this year. I am not a believer in John Gruden, but I'm willing I will try my best to withhold judgment.
The thing about John Gruden is he's the best guy to move that team to Vegas from Oakland. He's got a personality and he does ratings. That's what he's good for. For good football, not so much. But he's the right guy at the right time for that team, I think.
Well, I mean, I think he was overrated the first time he was in the NFL as a head coach.
I don't disagree.
And that they never would have won the Super Bowl had he not, you know, basically known the entire playbook of his
Dungy
team, and inherited, you know, a fantastically talented team. But that's all history.
Yep.
Anyway, the next team is the team that last year I was the most wrong about, and that is the Giants. Last year I had them, I think, at number three, winning the NFC East. as the season started last year, it was very clear
close,
why.
Man, just no cigar on that one.
Why I was wrong. It was very clear. The injuries to the wide receiving core and other places on the team didn't help at all. And that's the kind of thing you can't account for in a power ranking, especially one this early. You don't know who's going to get hurt, that kind of thing. But what I was incredibly wrong about was just how bad their offensive line was. I did not realize that they were going to have arguably the worst offensive line in the league last year. I didn't necessarily think they were going to be good, but there's a difference between not being good and being as horrendous as they were. So that I was very wrong about them. And everything that happened to them on offense was a result. And I shouldn't say not everything, because the injuries were the injuries. But everything that happened to them to become the worst offense in the league, or one of the very worst offenses in the league last year, was mostly due to how terrible their offensive line is. They went out and picked up Nate Solder from the Patriots, left tackle, to replace Eric Flowers. That doesn't give them a good offensive line, but it certainly is an improvement.
Sure.
And so that's why I have them. That's why I have them improving significantly. That, and, you know, Odell Beckham is back. They're they're much healthier team. They obviously they added Saquon Barkley. And while I'm not necessarily a huge fan of adding running backs that early in the draft, I do think that you tend to see an immediate impact, if not a long-term impact, for teams. So I do think they'll pull themselves somewhat out of the gutter, and they might compete for a wild card spot in the NFC, although it is a crowded NFC.
So what do you think of Manning? How long does he have left? Is this his last year?
He's on his last few years, I think. I mean, I think he'll statistically improve this year from last year, but I think that's
sure.
Like,
it's Odell.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I think last year his statistics were as bad as they were, like I said, partly because of the offensive line and partly because all of his receivers, you know, were out. So I think, you know, I would pick him up in the very last round of your fantasy drafts as your number two quarterback, maybe if you haven't had a good opportunity at one, because he might surprise and put up a few, you know, more touchdowns than he did last year by a significant margin. But I do think that he is on the tail end of his career in a very acute way. But
you need to pick up Jameis Winston.
Hey, speaking of which, 19 is the Buccaneers.
And he'll be suspended for some of the season, so he's a perfect number two.
Possibly. There's and this is, you know, and I actually want to briefly talk about this. As Lions fans, what we saw happen with Matt Patricia, with, you know, things that may or may not have happened, but were alleged to have happened, and we truly don't know. If we as Lions fans are unwilling to jump to any conclusions about Matt Patricia, and I truly feel that that's an important thing to do, is not to jump to conclusions about something you don't know about, we have to also extend that to other players like Jameis Winston in this instance. We don't know. And I'm not saying there's a good reason to doubt the accuser by any means, right. Just that we don't know. And so to assume his guilt at this point would be premature.
I'll tell you this much. After last year's draft party, Risden groped me in the back of an Uber, and he never got suspended. So whatever.
Yeah, but you asked him to.
Well, okay. There's always extenuating circumstances, I guess.
Anyway, that's my, and there have been several other players. Obviously the one draft pick that a lot of people wanted us to take, and we didn't, from the 49ers, who's the linebacker whose name I can never remember on the spot. You all know who I'm talking about. He had his whole thing dismissed. Whether or not anything actually happened, whether or not he did anything, we don't know. His whole thing was dismissed. There's still questions about his, you know, ability to stay healthy and his character in for other reasons. But again, if we're going to hold ourselves to a standard that says we don't know, you know, what happened here, so we're not going to judge anyone personally, we need to make sure that we're doing that across the board.
So Carlos already has him serving his suspension. Okay, move on.
Right. Next, I have the Cowboys at 18. I had somebody upset with me that they were as low as they were because he thinks they'll be better than they were last year. I don't agree. I know that they have Zeke Elliott for 16 games, theoretically, as long as nothing happens. They're another player who, you know, the NFL suspended, despite the fact that he was cleared, you know, legally, questionable circumstances there. That's six more games of Ezekiel Elliott. Despite the other problem is, you know, they lost Dez Bryant, they lost Jason Witten. They brought in a few wide receivers, but Dez Bryant still would have been the best wide receiver on that team. And they lost Jason Witten, and one of the best security blankets in the league. To me, they have one of the worst receiving cores in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And we obviously saw it wasn't necessarily a regression from Dak Prescott last year, because obviously he was just dealing with a much more difficult situation.
Right.
I don't think that situation has improved and potentially has gotten significantly worse. It all depends on how you feel about guys like Allen Hurns, who I'm not super high on him. He had the, you know, one great year of production with the Jags, and now they're calling him their clear-cut number one wide receiver. We'll see how that works out for him.
Well, and the other thing that we haven't taken into account is, now that mini camps and OTAs are over and we're in that kind of dead gap between those and when training camp starts, it's effectively weed season in Dallas. So we'll see who gets snared and what happens to their season in that regard as well.
Yeah. 17 is the Seahawks. They've just continually hemorrhaged talent on the defense, and it's just it is not the Legion of Boom anymore. There's still some good players there, so I don't expect it to be like the worst defense in the league or anything like that. They're still probably average to above average defense. And Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion. He's kind of like the heir apparent to what Aaron Rodgers does. And there aren't a lot of guys who can carry an offense quite the way he does, but at the same time, they're still lacking entirely on offensive line talent. And the run game is I don't expect to be massively improved this year. Their wide receivers are not the worst in the league. They certainly aren't the best in the league. So to me, that there isn't, they're just mediocre in so many things right now across the board that I think they'll have a hard time fighting in a what could be a tough NFC West this year.
Yep. Mediocre right at 17. So there you go. Let's move up to 16. What do you got going on?
I have the Chiefs. And I've quote myself here on the article. It's rare that I would put a team going through a quarterback change this high, especially because Kansas City is coming off such a rough defensive season. The reason
you just that quote I, yourself on, wow, quote yourself on your own show. That's it. That I don't even know what to call that. But go ahead.
The hubris. No, it was just so I didn't have to come up with an original thought.
We've got that covered. Don't worry.
there is a fair amount of hype that I think is unwarranted around Mahomes, much like I think there is several other young quarterbacks. That is based on a very, and with him especially, it's based on one game playing as more or less a preseason game where both he and the other team were playing with backups in. But I do have some faith in Andy Reid.
He's a magician, isn't he?
Well, and he's like a better version of Jeff Fisher in that he almost always keeps his teams competitive and slightly better than mediocre. While I do have them at 16, I think that's just an overcoming the situation. What Mahomes has that some of the other others don't have is truly one of the best offensive supporting casts in the league. A group of explosive wide receivers, Travis Kelce, who might be a shithead, but is a great tight end. They've got good running backs. Kareem Hunt obviously had an explosive rookie year last year. So I think they're in good shape. The bigger issue for them is on the defensive side of the ball, where last year they were bad, and a lot of it had to do with some aging issues. Mm-hmm. I do think there will be some return to the medium there. I don't expect them to be a good defense, and I expect that to limit their ceiling rather significantly. But I think that maybe that it was just an overcorrection last year, and we'll see some back to the norm a little bit there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Next, I have the Redskins, who I kind of moved them around my list a lot. They traded for Alex Smith, who I do not think is a downgrade from Kirk Cousins for them in the short term. I think that Alex Smith, I finally am starting to come around that while he is not the kind of quarterback who will win straight up on his own games for you, he is. Probably one of the better game managers that we've seen in recent memory. Now, he also did throw a ton of deep balls last year, which is uncharacteristic of him. I think that had more to do with the supporting cast he was working with than, him himself. Mm-hmm. And this year he's working with slightly worse situation with, I shouldn't say slightly, as fairly significantly worse situation of offensive talent around him, but I think it's enough to still buoy that team to about where they were last year, and I think their defense is in pretty good shape. What they did do was add two rookies who could have immediate impact, despite the fact that they both have major like potential issues in Darius Geis and Harold Landry. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of teams that were able to add two guys without picking, extremely early, who I think can have the immediate impact that those guys can have. There is obviously the potential for both of them for major bust based on other things. But in terms of their ability to step on the field week one of this season and be productive, I think that they took a relatively large step forward there compared to the rest of the league.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
Here it is, boys. I have the Lions at number 14.
Oh, Jesus. What a jackass. Worse. I mean, come on. Really, Case? Oh, God.
I don't know that I need to go too much in depth here because most of you all know my opinions on where we are. We have a lot of question marks. I predicted us as an 8-8 team. I actually thought that I was going to probably have us lower in the rankings, but some of those mid-tier teams, when I got to them, what I found about the Lions that I didn't find about some of those other teams is that the Lions went out and aggressively attacked one of their biggest weaknesses this offseason in the run game. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other mid-tier teams either didn't do that or just weren't able to do that because they had so many other like little things they had to try to deal with. And they didn't, they just weren't able to accomplish the, wholesale improvement of one specific area. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think the Lions will have an elite run game or anything like that, but it would be a somewhat surprising at this point if we didn't see some significant improvement there.
Interesting that you didn't take this sporting news approach and say they're the worst coach team in the NFL.
Well, I have been rooting for the Lions to bring on Matt Patricia for years now.
You don't say.
I do love that potential, but at the same time, he still has to prove it. And I've said that, and I will continue to say that until he does prove it. So that's why the Lions are at 14 and not significantly higher. The next one is a little bit of a surprise. I might have them higher than most people. I have the Ravens at 13. I know that they have offensive issues. I really do. But they also are in the running again for one of the top defenses in the league. And I think they could easily be a top three defense this year. And the only reason that they had an extremely good defense last year, and the only reason that they finished as low as they did was because the offense was horribly inept. Now, I don't think they have a good offense now, but what they did do was improve their receiving core from arguably probably almost exclusively the worst in the league to bottom five now. Mm-hmm. So that's an improvement. It's not a huge thing, but it is an improvement. And I do think that we'll see a little bit better run game situation for them. I do think there is some degree of impact that bringing in rookie Lamar Jackson will have in terms of spurring them on to fight for a little bit more. I do think they'll be limited, and whether or not if they make the playoffs, it's going to be as one of those 8-8, 9-7 AFC teams that would never even sniff the playoffs in the NFC. But I do think that they have, because of the strength of their defense and that they have potential to be the best defense in the league, I do think that they are a decent team.
I'm going to go on the limb and say this is your worst ranking. I'd have them a couple places lower.
That's okay. That's okay. I know that not everyone is going to agree on that particular one.
Was I supposed to start that with "you dirty son of a bitch" or something? Is that how we do it on Reddit? I forget. Darn it. I keep messing up. Go ahead. All right. Titans
are number 12, which I also think that, a lot of people might have them lower. If you look at if you go back to when we played the Titans last, before we played the Titans, I was like, man, I'm glad we're playing the Titans this year instead of, in a couple of years. Well, it's a couple of years and we are seeing the growth. Now, we lost that game against the Titans, even though it was like the worst game I think I've ever watched due to all the officiating.
Who officiated that?
No one. not well, anyway.
Wasn't that Triplett's crew?
It might have been. I think it was.
And I believe that now he's being called in to be, they think like he's going to be the Blandino competition on the network of stupidity. This is dumb. I mean, he couldn't. Oh God, Triplett.
It was the worst game I've ever watched.
I will never forget. And this makes it doubly bad because I really hate him. But the phantom offensive pass interference call on Eric Ebron. That one, yeah. I still want to just. It's so bad. I want to throw a rope around my neck and hang myself in the closet and have people accuse me of autoerotic asphyxiation and being renowned for that because it was so bad.
Well, what I've said about that game was that I honestly have no idea who the better team was. I don't know that the Lions were the better team. I don't know that the Titans were the better team. As deeply and intrinsically as the referees inserted themselves into that game, it's impossible to know. So it was just honestly, it was the least entertaining game I have ever watched in my entire life.
So, yeah.
Anyway,
garbage product. I keep going if you want.
We're talking about a team that just has a ton of young talent that will continue to grow and has potential for breakout seasons all over the place on that roster. Marcus Mariota had a rough year last year, and I don't know that he is their quarterback of the future. I think that he may have, to some degree, shown what he's capable of at this point, playing for 3 years. Then again, I don't necessarily think he's the worst quarterback in the league either. And as long as the team around him continues to improve, I think he, you know, statistically, he will probably see some degree of bounce back this year. So I do have them at number 12, and it is almost entirely based on the strength of the youth on that team and where they've been able to continue to grow that. And I think we'll see them. I think this could be a statement year for them. To finally like rise above their 9-7 records from the last couple of years into something that actually looks like a real team. I have the Chargers at 11, and actually, believe it or not, that's lower than it seems like a lot of people have them right now. They've been a very trendy top 10 pick, and I completely see why. They've got a great roster on both sides of the ball, and Keenan Allen being back for them last year was big for their offense. And they just, despite the, you know, tight end worries that they have, I think there's still a good chance that they'll bring Antonio Gates back and still have a decent presence at tight end, if less than inspiring at this
point. Tony, come to Detroit, Tony, come home.
I would still be very okay with that too. There's a lot of talent there, and I think that they will probably compete for the AFC West this year. The Packers are at number 10, which, you know, obviously some people were upset that I had the Packers ahead of the Lions. If anybody is really upset that I have the Packers at number 10 right now, I would suggest avoiding any other power rankings this offseason. Because they're all going to piss you off a lot more than mine does. if you want to talk, and I look at it from last year's perspective, they went 7-9 last year with Rodgers essentially missing 11 games. He technically played in two more, but one was he only had four attempts in before he got hurt, and the other was when he tried to come back in week 15 off of his injury prematurely and try to see if they could salvage their season. He wasn't himself in that game. But they went, you know, I think they were, they had a winning record when he got hurt. I don't remember exactly what it was. And there's a very good chance that both they would have made the playoffs and maybe even potentially competed for the division had he stayed healthy. And so I think you have to look at last year somewhat anomalous. I do agree. I know Jeff Risden thinks they have like the worst roster in the league. And to some extent, I agree a little bit. The part of the problem I have with it, though, is if you look at their second-year players, Kevin King had a great year last year as a rookie cornerback. And it's so rare that you see a rookie cornerback not look completely lost. And I think he will continue to improve and that he'll be able to do a fairly good job shutting down number one wide receivers this year. They have I don't remember his first name, Jones. He's kind of a safety inside linebacker guy that they used in a lot of sub packages last year as a rookie. And he was a game changer on multiple occasions. I think you'll continue to see his game grow. And they now all of a sudden might have a very effective running back by committee because they had two rookie running backs and Ty Montgomery last year who all looked pretty good when they were on the field, but all suffered injuries. And so none of them were able to, almost none of them played significant snaps together. Well, now all three will be back at the same time. Now this assumes that they don't all, you know, have a rash of injuries again, but none of the injuries they had were the kind of injuries that make me think that that's, you know, a likely scenario or a probable scenario anyway. So all of a sudden they've got three guys and they can use in multitude of ways And I think they're in good shape there. They have a little bit of an issue at depth at wide receiver. But I think Aaron Rodgers will be able to cover that up for the most part. Their defense overall is still probably below average, but they have done some things to, you know, add youth to that and improve it. And while I certainly don't expect that to be an above average unit, I don't think they'll be as bad as maybe Jeff Risden thinks they'll be. So,
I think the thing that looks best on that team is, Aaron Rodgers on his back with his helmet next to him and the ball on the ground on the other side. That's my favorite look on that team. And hopefully we see a lot of that, because as he goes, that team goes. And as much as you believe in the roster that Risden doesn't believe in, you take out number 12. Then let me rephrase that. You take number 12 out of the mix.
Either way.
You take number 12 out of the mix. And I think Risden's absolutely right on where that team goes. Straight.
I 100% agree that if Aaron Rodgers doesn't make it through most of the season, that they'll be in a similar or worse position than they were last year.
And, the good news is, even if he does look good this year, some people are thinking, he got injured. Maybe he isn't going to look so great, right? Maybe it isn't going to be.
That is a question.
Yeah. And even if he does come back, he's still aging. I mean, you could still see that drop off next year or the year after. He's taken a number of injuries in his career. He's taken some good hits. And there's going to be a point. There's going to be a cliff. So keep watching for him.
You will get there eventually. I hope it's sooner rather than later. But
and we shall raise a glass in the Lions' honor when he does.
Yes, we certainly will. At number 9, I have the Panthers. The Panthers are the funniest team in terms of, if you look at their season history over the last, I think it's 5 seasons, they've swung massively back and forth every year in terms of their final wins from below 500 to, 6, 5, 7 wins to, 11, 12, 13 wins. It's seemingly every year. Now, this year would theoretically be a down year for them. If that continues. But I do think what they were able to go out and make some really solid offseason acquisitions to stabilize the situation. So I think this would probably be the year they break that trend. I'm not the biggest believer in Cam Newton because I really don't think he's a very good passer. And I think that as he ages, that unless he improves in that area, his ability to run the ball, while he's still a bit of a tank, he's not going to be able to pick up, the massive gains that he once was able to. I think his speed will falter. And obviously we've seen him banged up repeatedly. And I think that, so that is a big question mark for them. But I do think that their defense is still going to be, top 10 easily. And they do have some interesting offensive weapons. Greg Olsen still, maybe the second, almost certainly to me, the second best tight end in the league, unless Travis Kelce takes it away from him. And Christian McCaffrey, well, again, I really don't believe in taking running backs that early. I do think he's a good weapon for them in the pass game. So despite the fact that their wide receiving core isn't necessarily near the top of the league, I do think that they have good pass catchers overall with those two guys. So I would expect them to stabilize a bit. I don't think they're going to win the NFC South, but I do think they have a very good shot at a wild card this year. Mm-hmm. At number 8, I have the Jaguars, and I think, a lot of people actually have them higher than this. This is a case of I don't believe in Blake Bortles. And their receiving core, again, they might have one of the worst receiving cores in the league. They might also have one of the best defenses and one of the best run games in the league. So that can cover up a lot of that. I need some proof that last year was a sustainable thing for them. But they certainly are a team on the rise, and I'm not going to deny that. I think they're probably the favorites to win the AFC South right now. Mm. I need some more proof from them that what we saw last year is something they can keep up. I do truly believe that they have one of the better defenses in the league. It's just a matter of if the offense can maintain, despite the fact that I think they have a weak receiving core, especially without Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson there, and a lot of question marks there. Mm-hmm. But obviously Leonard Fournette can do his thing. So then I've got the Rams at number 7, and again, there are some people who have the Rams as high as top 3. My thinking is that the Rams could either win the Super Bowl or they could have a somewhat of a collapse in terms of the cohesiveness of their team due to all the egos in the room. That when a team tries to do too much in free agency, I put that in little air quotes, I do think there is a high potential for especially a young head coach to lose some control. And so I can see that as a possibility. So while I have them at 7, I really do see them as a team that could very well, if they pull it all together, be a Super Bowl candidate. So I'm not trying to deny them that. They might have the most talented roster in the NFL right now. But obviously, dream team. I would assume that most of our listeners probably remember, you know, the whole Eagles thing with the dream team. Well, I could see something similar potentially happening with them. That's not really a slight on McVay. I do think he's a very good head coach, but he is young. And I do think that with the guys like Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, who is, you know, clearly not entirely thrilled with his situation and is looking over at Sue making a hell of a lot more money than he is. All it takes is for a little bit of a divide to happen for a team like that to collapse a bit. Now, I think that the absolute high watermark of their talent in the NFL will carry them to at least a 500 record, even if things are not as cohesive as they want them to be. I just think that there's a high risk there. And I do think, I won't get too far into this, but I do think they are playing a game where if they don't win this year, they could be in serious trouble going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That coaching magic had better be real, or
yep.
they're going to be looking for a new magician soon.
Yep. At 6, I have the Falcons. I know that a lot of other people had them a little bit lower, but I do have some place a degree of importance on consistency, and this is a consistent team. Now, last year was a little bit of a step back for them offensively, but I think they'll rebound. I think their defense has continued to build slowly over the last few years. So it wasn't necessarily surprising to see them have a slump after the Super Bowl loss. I just think that they'll bounce back a little bit this year. They still have great offensive weapons all over the board there. So I would not be surprised to see them back, you know, as a top three offense, and for that to carry their team to very high ranking in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I have the Steelers at 5, and it for very similar reason. While I do think there is the potential for Ben to finally fall off as well, they just have more talent on the offense than I think most teams will be able to deal with. And surprisingly, I think their defense is underrated. So I don't have a lot to say about them. I think you could look pretty obviously and see what talent they have and see why I have them high. I have the Vikings at 4, which depresses me, but I underrated them pretty significantly last year.
Couldn't you just underrate them way too early to make us feel better? This is a little bit... God.
I don't have them winning the NFC, and I know that actually quite a few people have the Rams and the Vikings as the top two teams in the NFC, and I don't.
Okay.
As far as that's concerned, and I do think that they will have to potentially wade through more injuries on defense than they had last year, because they came out of that with such, you know, a good situation. Very few missed games from their important starters last year. So that's one potential roadblock for them. The other is obviously the transition from Case Keenum to Kirk Cousins. But if I'm really being perfectly honest, do I honestly think that Kirk Cousins is a worse quarterback than Case Keenum? And no, I don't. Not to mention, I think Dalvin Cook coming back is an improvement for their offense. So,
yeah, I'm tired. I'm more interested in who you think is going to beat the Vikings for the NFC. And I hope it's someone. Actually, now that I think about it, there's only one team left.
There's two teams left in the NFC.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But the one team left is going to be the one that hopefully makes it even worse on them.
Right. And that is the next team on my list.
All right.
Is the Saints. I just think that everything is poised right now for the Saints. They have a really good, and I don't think people recognize how good their defense has become. They have such a good defense in terms of talent, and I think they finally put that all together. On the other side of the ball, they've just got, you know, you've got the double-headed, you know, the hellhound in Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, Cerberus, or actually he's three headed, whatever. It's close.
Yeah, you said double headed. I thought you were going somewhere else. Let's move on. Keep it rolling.
They have Michael Thomas, who is a great wide receiver. They have solid receiver depth. Even if it isn't necessarily what it once was, Breeze obviously has a long track record of getting the best out of his receivers. And so I just think that they are poised right now, maybe more so than they have been, to make a run since the last time they did and since they took the Vikings out. So there is high potential to see that happen again. You could see them in the NFC Championship game and see Kirk Cousins bruised and bloodied and how satisfying that would be for me.
Every day. And it's funny, you know, we've got something brewing here. I don't know if you even know it. We start getting Cleveland talk going, and this about bruised and bloody about Kirk Cousins. Riz might just come in here ready to. That's probably why you're not showing up for the party, or you're just thinking about not showing up for the training camp party, isn't it? You're afraid Riz is going to beat you up.
Yep. I'm terrified. He's a lot bigger than me, but
he's just tall. He you can take it. I promise. Yeah.
Okay. I'm scrappy. I'm like Wes Welker.
Jim Rat, not the Jim Rat, though. I can't give you that. Sorry, my friend.
My number two team is the Patriots. And this is entirely, and I will not even pretend otherwise, based on history. Now, I do think they're in a bit more tenuous situation than they have been, losing Matt Patricia is going to take some adjustment. Now, again, Bill Belichick being the defensive-minded guy that he is initially to begin with, I think they'll probably be okay there. But it is going to be an adjustment, and it is going to be and what Patricia was able to get out of a lower talent group will be difficult to replicate. So I do think there is some potential for their defense to struggle even more so maybe than it did last year.
You know what's going to get me to really pull out a rope, throw it over the rafters and neck myself is if we have a bad season and terrible coaching and for some reason they have a resurgence on defense. That would really just be the ultimate kick in the jimmy for me. I don't know if I could survive it.
That would be rough. And I do think there's potential on offense for Brady to, hit that cliff. But at the same time, like, am I supposed to predict that every year? And I don't know that I can predict that that's going to happen every year.
He's still going to be good looking. Damn it.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
And they still got good players on offense. They still got Gronkowski, despite all the, we'll talk a little bit about that later. Mm-hmm. They've still got good players on offense. And they just outcoach everyone. So until they have, a much more massive shift in talent, be it Tom Brady, be it, whatever, I have a hard time picking against them as the top AFC team. And that sucks. I know but it just is what it is. Until there's proof in the pudding that they are no longer the top dog, I can't make a move there. So
no, I can't argue with it. I just want them out of the way when we ascend. I don't want to have to be climbing up and
it's gotta be I mean it's gotta ceiling, be coming right? it's gotta be on the horizon here. It's just a matter of when exactly, I don't know. The number one team I have is the Eagles, and it's rare. I am not typically beholden to putting the team who won the Super Bowl number one. More often than not, I do not, because I can usually see a few reasons why they might falter. But a team that managed to transition quarterbacks midway through the year and still win the Super Bowl is an impressive feat. They looked like they were weak for a minute there when Nick Foles took over, but they were able to get it together and adjust. And a team that can make that kind of adjustments, to me, that's so valuable. What they did last offseason in going out and building a offense around their quarterbacks that could survive. You know, and I'm not even the biggest Carson Wentz fan. I shouldn't say that. I like Carson Wentz. I'm not the biggest Carson Wentz believer yet. I haven't, he hasn't played two full seasons. That's usually my benchmark. Like before I start trying to really judge a quarterback, because like I say, you know, we saw Derek Carr this last year in his third year, and Marcus Mariota this year in his third year, and Jameis Winston is third year, and guys who, you know, didn't take the step forward that you want to see in that that year for players. So that could be him this year, and I don't know. But they've just built such an effective offense around what they have. And then on top of that, one of the top defenses in the league. And so I have a hard time seeing that they lost enough to knock them from their pedestal. Usually when a team wins a Super Bowl, they lose a ton of talent because everybody wants the guys that were on that team. And they just didn't have enough, you know, high cost free agents for that to be a major issue for them.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, I don't know. I think the general consensus on that is
the bullshit.
But that's where we landed, huh? No, you did a good job, Case. I love these every year because you put good thought, good work into them, and it's at least a great place to start. And you know, people can cry and whine about this piece or that piece, but there's two things. Number one, they never put together power rankings.
Well, that's what I was about to say. if you are seriously upset by anything I did, please, please, please make your own power ranking and post it to the Lions subreddit or in the comment section of the post I made. And then I can tell you about all the things you did said that were stupid and that we can go from there.
Right. I mean, because let's face it, you put yourself out there a little bit on something like this, but this is well thought out. I mean, and I think in many ways you want to be able to see that the methodology is sound. You may not agree with where everything landed and how things kind of fell out in the end, but to have a good sound methodology, you can say, okay, there was good thinking behind it. I was at a conference and people were talking about cost effectiveness of something. And they're, this is a big data. It was Penn State University and a bunch of other people together put some, and they, the whole thing was cost effectiveness. And then I was like, asked the question, so how did you, I mean, what did you do to get at this? And it's like, no, this is just the perception of cost effectiveness. I'm like, how the fuck are you telling me how cost effective it is based on somebody's goddamn feelings? What the fuck is this garbage? So anyway, that's at least it wasn't that. You actually put some good analysis in there and did some good stuff. So congratulations, Case. Thank you for the power rankings. Love it every year. And let's face it, I mean, you rank things, you rank your favorite players, you rank your favorite teams, you rank your favorite sports. And once you do, there's the thing that you do when you want to show off how you ranked them. So what do? You get your favorite player's jersey, your favorite team's hat. You do all that stuff. And Case, whenever you do that, where do you go?
I go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And that was a smooth transition, Chris.
Thanks a lot. I like to do either smooth or really, really bad ones. I don't know which kind of way to roll with it, right? So anyway, yeah, you go to Detroit Lions Podcast, click on that link up in the menu, get your Lions gear. It'll take you straight to Fanatics and you can get the greatest hot stuff and show off who you like. It doesn't matter if it's hockey, basketball, baseball, or of course our beloved Lions. Use that link to get there. You get the same great price. Soon, we're working with them. We're going to have coupon codes for you, some special stuff too that's going to help you out. But until then, we're kind of doing it the same way we've always done it. But they give us a little kickback every time you do that. It's that time of year. It's summertime. It's hype time. Everyone's starving for more Lions stuff. And, you know, you can kind of help tide yourself over with that new jersey. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Hit on that link on the main menu. And get your Lions merch, and they'll give us a kickback, and we will forever be in your debt and thanking you for using that to help support the show. All right, we'll move on. Since the Riz can't be here physically, and I already gave the physical story from when he was in the Uber, he's going to be here virtually. He put together a pretty good little story about Jimmy Ray on Lions Wire. You can just go to lionswire.usatoday.com and check it out. And again, it's by Jeff Risden. You've heard of him once or twice, I'm sure. It's called Jimmy Ray III, What He Offers the Lions Front Office. And, well, Case, this is one of those things where people thought he could be a GM and we're making him a senior personnel executive. Does that mean he's got a 1 year tenure here and he's gone, or what's the story? What are we going to get out of this? Let me ask you to weigh in.
I mean, that's a strong possibility. I don't know, you know, enough about him, and I don't know that many people know enough about him to say definitively why it was that he didn't get any of those GM offers. I mean, they wasn't like there were a lot of positions open for him. But it certainly could be a 1, maybe 2 year situation, and they're just trying to glean what they can out of him while they have him. Jeff makes the point that, you know, he has been a very talented guy. He was a former player who his primary area of expertise is in scouting college stuff, but he's also a communicator, a guy who tries to bring the different departments for a front office together and on the same page and focused and all going in one direction. Jeff mentions that maybe the biggest concern is just that there's a lot of people in the Lions front office right now, a lot of people with positions. And so the only concern would be that maybe there's too many and that maybe you've got too many heads. But if he's working primarily as a facilitator, that could actually, you know, help improve that situation. So without knowing exactly what his role with the team is, it's really hard to have like a very strong opinion. You hope, you know, this is one of those things where I, you know, without having a reason to doubt Bob Quinn, I have to trust him in this instance. So
ooh, that's closest you're getting to trusting Quinn yet. I like that. I like what I'm hearing. We'll get you on the train. The idea that he was, you know, he's a scout at heart is what Risen says, right? He's got that scouting in his veins, and that's where his strengths are. He's fought for real top quality players historically when he was with the Chargers and the Texans. He's a guy that I feel like is really going to be in the talent evaluation. We know that last year when Mr. Quinn joined the team, one of the first things he did, and one of the very first things he did, was revamp that scouting department. He heads were flying, bodies were scattered around the outside of Allen Park office, and they redid that. I mean, they did that in the gym. It was like the first two things that they did, right? And so I have a feeling this is to help take him to that next level. I'm looking, and they're not seeing it here, and we've talked about that, and I'm still promising to get you guys a person who's really smart in this area to help talk about it a little bit. But I'm looking to see who the data guy is. Who's the guy with the AI, the machine learning piece, and the optical recognition that's going to take us to the next level on a data perspective and scheming perspective. Can't do it live in the game. That's illegal to do that. But I think when you're prepping for other teams, what better way than to have something that thinks well beyond where the human mind does to find different insights. And I that's absolutely going to be one of the next big shifts, I think, in the game. And one of the ways that it changes the game altogether. So I don't know if this is the guy that does it. We'll have to see. But this is interesting. This is very, very interesting. And he's close. He's been close to Quinn for a while. Knows Quinn. So we'll see how it goes. All right. With that, let's move on to some other news. This is tangentially related to the Lions. This is. As real a news, I mean, it's just barely this side of fake news. It's like one step closer than like a Carlos article, right? We got Gronkowski coming to the Lions, huge trade. We're going to have him fill in as our number one tight end, and we're going to be trading Matthew Stafford to pick him up. Isn't that how it's going, Case? It's a great move, like, too.
This was one of those things like... some of the people who got wind of this, all they heard was that the Lions were among the teams the Patriots talked to before the draft.
Holy cow. How much did they sign for?
And is that really a shock? Because I mean, the Lions and the Patriots are clearly in communication about a lot of things. Anytime the Patriots or the Lions have somebody they are considering making a trade for, they're going to talk to each other. That's just the connection that they have. What happened was, and even some national media, I heard it on Fox Sports Radio, talk about how the Lions were a top, you know, and this is all like post-mortem because this all happened before the draft and none of it is relevant anymore in the least, despite how relevant some people tried to make it because it's the off season and finding stories is difficult. Try to make it sound like there was a real, real good chance that the Lions were going to make a trade for Gronkowski. And there's just absolutely no evidence for
finding
that.
Stupid stories is really freaking easy, it seems like. And I'm not even going to go to the Sporting News Worst Coach article. I'm not, I mentioned
right.
it. This is
right. We'll just leave that alone.
the Gronk thing, this thing. I mean, it feels like they're completely trying to smear Matt Patricia before he even gets started. You know what I mean?
Well, I certainly think there is some degree of that because they want to be able to take the moral high horse if he is bad, and you know, they can all say, well, we could have seen that coming because obviously, you know, he's got the questionable history, whatever, that kind of thing. Like, I do definitely think they are preparing themselves for a high horse situation.
So. I think what they're preparing themselves for is massive success because every successful coach is hated by everybody else. You look at Bill Belichick. More people hate him than respect what he's done. I feel like maybe that's just the loud people. Right?
And I respect him, but
absolutely. I wish he would write a real book on leadership. I would buy a copy in a heartbeat. I think he's got all kinds of insights to share that could really help a lot of people. He just seems like a really smart guy, great leader, all those things, and deserves a hell of a lot of credit to be able to revamp. I mean, look, your quarterback's the same and every other player on the roster is different and you've won Super Bowls with them. It's just incredible. That's just incredible to me, especially in this league. I'm being a little bit silly, but it's like they're building the foundation of what they're going to hate him on versus, so when he's really, really good, they can all just bitch about Spygate or whatever the hell else, right?
Well, and we have to recognize that by inheriting Matt Patricia, if we start employing some of the, and like we've talked about, you know, I don't think that Matt Patricia is creating the Patriot way in Detroit. You know, he's got his own personality. And Jeff and I, you know, had before we brought him on, you know, Jeff's big concern was that he was going to try to do too much of that. And I agreed that that was a concern. And then, you know, after we brought him on and it was pretty clear that he was going to take things in a somewhat different direction, despite the fact that he would certainly have, you know, some of the things that he saw that he liked, you know, to do, making players run.
We're gonna run. They've lost the team. Oh my god, it's horrible. Why would they ever run? They never run in the game. Jesus Christ.
But I do think that connection leads us, if the Lions are a successful team with Matt Patricia, that it does lead us into joining the, if anybody is on, you know, RNFL a lot, you've seen maybe the Survivor League, and it's just a game and it's kind of a dumb game, but it doesn't actually have any merit. All 32 teams enter every day. One team gets voted off the island or whatever. Mm-hmm. And teams form alliances and they're usually like the cat teams or the bird teams or there's the evil league of evil, which is the Patriots is for some reason, the Bears, even if I hate them, I don't even remember who else, the Steelers and a few other, the most hated teams. We have potential, if we're a good team, to enter that realm of being one of the widely hated teams because of the way that the team is doing. You've seen the smear campaigns this offseason directed at the Patriots. Mm-hmm. If we become a good team, we already get smear campaigns like against us, like even not being a good team. If we become a good team, like consistently, Lions fans are going to have to deal with that. It's just going to become the reality.
It's easier to deal with it when you're right. When you're running Super Bowl rings around town.
I absolutely agree with that. But it is something we have to face as a real reality that nobody's going to like us anymore.
I dream of the day.
We get a lot of people saying, oh, I really like the Lions. I really like the Lions. They're my second team, or I root for them, or whatever.
I root for
That's
going to
come
sorry
to an end real
them.
Fast if we're good.
Yeah, I root for them because I feel sorry for them. I'm sick of that. My happiest day, or one of the key days when I know we've made it, is when I see FTL memes. That's going to be I'm going to, a little tear in the corner of the eye. And it'll be a grand, grand time.
Well, and we've come a long way, even just in the last decade, since like 2011, from being hated by our division rivals.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of coming a long way, you know, you just drove cross country, like literally. I was out for a week for work, and you had some things you had to take care of. You were driving across the country for a bunch of other stuff. And it's been kind of messing with our schedule a little bit here, but I think we're locked in and ready to go now. But you had a little story you wanted to share, and I have to admit, you haven't told me what this is, so I'm a little bit nervous, but let's hear what you got going on here. This is probably a good time to drop in.
Okay, so I'm going to try to hit the cliff notes, especially on the early part of the story, but my uncle passed away, and I don't mean to garner any sympathy with that. He had cancer, and we saw it coming a mile away. I had become closer with him over the last few years of his life, and I don't mean this in a crass way, but there are both tangible and intangible benefits to being close with your family. But one of the tangible benefits for me, and I really don't mean that in as negative a way as maybe it sounds, is that he left me his car when he passed away, which was good for me because I needed a new one. My truck is not in good shape. But I had to fly out to North Carolina to pick it up. So I flew out to North Carolina. I hate flying. I hate driving, but this had to be done. I'd rather just stay home all the time.
Yeah. It's somebody please bring me some beer.
So anyway, I fly out to North Carolina, pick it up. Driving home, nothing of major significance happens. The first day I managed to make it all the way to Ohio, driving through the Virginias. They're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Ohio is boring.
Oh,
you
horrible.
Know you've hit the Midwest the minute you enter Ohio. I managed to sneak right in between Cleveland and Columbus. I decided not to go to Cleveland just in case that anybody there would
remember know the voice.
My history. anyway, I ended up in Dayton, Ohio. I spent the night at a rest stop in Dayton, Ohio. I'd stopped at a Kroger's and picked up a six pack of beer and had a few. And slept in the car. Well, the beers were sitting in the back seat. I also had a bunch of other beer in the way back because I worked briefly for a brewing company, and my very best friend Bill also works for that brewing company, and he's a big beer fanatic, and I'm driving cross country. So I said, you know, okay, I'll stop and pick up beer in various places for you that we can't otherwise get in North Dakota. So anyway, I've got a bunch of beer in the back. The trip continues from Ohio. I go through Indiana, which, by the way, Indiana is the worst driving state I have ever been in my entire life. The roads are horrendous, absolutely horrendous condition. The drivers are terrible. And for whatever reason, the radio stations are also terrible through the entire state.
I'll give you that, but I have to tell you, I think Ohio is the worst. But
The roads through Ohio were great.
The cops in Ohio are just totally
on the interstate in Ohio is 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, and I usually like to do about 20 over, so they're pretty tight on me.
So I get that. But like the road conditions in Indiana, like I'm surprised that my car made it through there, even though it's a brand new car. They are so terrible. It's like going through a third world country. My last stop in Indiana is Gary, Indiana, which is a shithole. But I make it out of there alive.
I told you. I told you on your way.
Now, can I talk about what's coming up next on the show here? Because it's relevant to this story.
Sure.
Okay. So relevant to this story is that we were supposed to, that day, have an interview with Billy Sims, the former Lions running back, right?
Lions great.
It's been postponed, and as we are recording this, it will happen, I think, 2 days from when we're recording this. So, we'll get to that. I'm driving through Wisconsin, and about an hour before the interview is supposed to happen, I'm trying to find a place to park. Unfortunately, I'm stuck in a long dead stretch, and about 30 minutes south of Madison, Wisconsin, I pull into a truck stop. I get out. I do my business in the truck stop.
Wait. No, I don't know a business. Move on. What kind of business are you doing at the truck stop? Need gas money or something? Jeez.
I refresh myself. I get back out of the car. I start trying to like prepare because at this point, like I was hoping to find somewhere like where I would actually be able to use my laptop, but like it just wasn't going to happen because of where I was. So I was going to do the interview by phone. And I pull out my phone because I'm going to start like trying to get all the details of all the information I need for the interview. Realize there's no bars here whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It is, I'm like, God damn it, Wisconsin. Of course you would be the problem for me in this. I've just driven through and I had driven through, you know, Chicago right before that. So like, I've been through enemy territory already. Like, and of course, Wisconsin is the one's fucking with me anyway. So I'm like, well, what is it? You know, 25 minutes until the interview. And I'm like, well, shit, I got to get to Madison as fast as I can. So I get back in the car, drive to Madison. I get to Madison right before the interview is supposed to start. I don't know how many of you have been to Madison, but it's not like an easy city to just jump off the interstate and park. You have to jump off the interstate, get on a highway, and then get on a different highway. And then finally you find somewhere off the street that you have to like drive blocks for. Anyway, it's a complicated city, in my opinion, in my brief moment there. So I pull into this subway parking lot. Now, before we do interviews with famous people, I typically like to have a beer. Calm my nerves. Whatever. I'm sitting in the subway parking lot. I'm like, well, I can probably get away with just having a beer here. It's discreet. It's mostly discreet.
We do not recommend this, kids. For
right.
You do not do what Case does. This is
right.
A lesson.
Like, I'm not driving. I'm certainly not impaired. I've taken the keys out of the ignition, whatever. So I realized that I don't have a bottle opener on me. I'd been using a lighter to pop my bottle caps when I was at the rest station the night before. And so but that lighter is kind of chipped up now from doing that. And because I'm not very good at it.
I've heard you can use the buckle on your seatbelt, but go ahead.
I'm not sure I can on this car. So I'm attempting to pop the bottle, and it's not going great. I get it very partially, like, and then as right as I get it partially, I look up and there's a security camera right on the side of the subway because I wasn't paying enough attention, and I was like in a hurry. I was trying to get this beer bottle open so I could get ready for this interview. but this interview is supposed to start in like 2 minutes. So I'm like, oh shit, I can't leave. Let me just stick this bottle like in the back of the car and like I'll pretend, you know, like whatever. Hopefully this won't be a problem. So we're sitting there waiting and this interview doesn't start right away. And I certainly don't mean to throw any shade at Billy. He got delayed.
Traffic.
Yeah. One reason or another. And we didn't get all the information, you know, right off the bat. So, I'm sitting there and finally we hear that, you know, it's going to be about an hour or so. So I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Fine. I have an errand to run. I promised that I'd pick this friend of mine, Bill, up some beer in Madison while I was there because there's a new Glarus that we can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, good stuff.
Right. So I Google this liquor store Trixie's in Madison and I'm trying to find it. And I can see the liquor store. I just can't get to it. Because again, Madison is kind of a complicated city to get around in. At least for me, never having been there before. They've got, you know, these big, huge-ass bike lanes that are like a full lane wide. And I'm not sure if I can use it as a turn lane or not.
There's no bikes there. You're clear.
Right, exactly. I didn't run anyone over. But anyway, so I end up going in a few circles while I'm trying to get to this place that I can see but can't actually figure out how to get to.
That would be such a Case move to run over a biker with an open beer in the car. I mean, that's just fucking.
Well, what I didn't realize until this point was that the beer that I had set in the back, I had popped it just enough that it had started foaming out as it was getting jostled. So it's all over the back, all over the floor in the back seat and the pillow. So all of a sudden I start smelling beer in the car. And right as I smell beer in the car, I look in the rearview mirror and sure enough, my driving in circles has drawn the attention of a popo. I finally figure out, like, I keep my cool and figure out how to pull into a liquor store. But it's in my
head. Always the best place to pull
right, exactly.
over.
Right? I'm driving into a liquor store. My car is full of beer already. I smell like beer. Now, I have also picked up the beer bottle and tried to move it, so my hand smells like beer.
No, sir, I didn't drink it. I needed some cold stuff. That's why I was stopping.
So, like, I was like, oh, God, this is the worst. I pull in the parking lot, and the cop kind of sidles up, like, slowly he drives, and he kind of watches me as I get out, and I'm just, like, opening up the back, and he can't see in the back that I have a bunch of beer because he's at a different angle or whatever, but I'm, like, trying to sort out what exactly the hell it is I'm doing here, trying not to look panicked and whatever. I go into the liquor store, get the beer. I ask for like a bag. So I come back out and put the beer bottle in the bag and throw it away. It seems resolved and the cop has like tooled off down the street. I can't see him. So I think it's, I still smell like beer and the car smells like beer, but there's no longer an open container in the car. So...
And you look like a witness at a trial right. for Michigan State University. Driving, that's a different conversation.
I should add that I've been driving in the car for, I got off the plane and immediately hopped in the car. And so I don't look the best. I kind of, I'm unshaven. Look, and
you don't start out in great shape. We'll go from there.
Right, okay. Exactly. So this is not good. I pull out of the liquor store and I have to do kind of I have to go all the way around in this big spiral to get like one turn, another turn, another turn, and then another turn to get out to where I want to go. I take a right and right down the block is the cop. He's still sitting there. And so I drive kind of slow and he takes a right and I'm like, shit, that's where I need to take a right. So I drive slow.
You're following him. Did you let him up?
Right. I drive slow hoping that he's going to, go on his merry way and that I won't catch up. But sure enough, I turn the next block and he's still like driving really slow down the block. So, and he turns right again and I'm like, God damn it. That's where I need to go. I thought about pulling off, but I was like, nah, I'll just,
go for
it. So I turn right and he's stopped in the middle of the road. Like he's at a crawl and when he sees me, he stops. So I pull up right behind him. He's right in the middle of the road. Like he's blocking.
Start honking, flashing lights, waving your arm.
I pull up behind him. I'm like 5 feet behind him and we're right in the middle of the road, just sitting there, not moving for like seconds. It's at this moment in time that I recognize that I am driving my dead uncle's car with the North Carolina license plates in Wisconsin. So if he's running plates on me, this is going from a hard to explain situation to an extremely hard situation to explain. So he lets me sweat it there for a few seconds. And now in retrospect, I think perhaps he thought I was following him because I needed some help or something. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, he's scaring the shit out of me. Finally, he drives off and sure enough, he pulls off exactly the direction I need to go. At this point, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to pull into this nearest parking lot and sit for a minute, chill out, and then try to go find somewhere more secluded to.
He's running all the pedophile APBs.
So I sit there for a minute and then try to leave. And sure enough, right as I leave, like I get back onto the street. I'm about to turn onto the like main street that I'm trying to get on. A cop may have been the same one. I don't know. Is right across at the other stoplight, and I turn right, and he comes and turns left right behind me, follows me for probably about 5 miles until I finally turn off, and he kind of hesitates and then goes straight, and I finally breathe a huge sigh of relief, and that's when I got back in touch with you because I pulled into a Applebee's parking lot and waited for a while and then I got the stink eye from the manager of the Applebee's parking lot. So I had to go to a gas station where I got like wipes and a car bomb air freshener. Wipes for the car, not for me. But anyway,
so then we
wait a while and it turns out that he's going to be too long. So we had to postpone the interview. This is my harrowing tale of life of my trip through Wisconsin. So
yeah, the mean streets of Madison.
I went through all three of our division rival states in one day and managed to live the tale. So
good.
I lived to tell the tale, rather.
The short part of that story is yes, we're still going to interview Billy Sims. It'll be on the next show. And other than that, Case is a shady looking character who every cop has to run the profiles of all the APBs on before they let him by. So there you go. All right. With that, we are going to take a look at wrapping it up. Don't forget about the Amazon link, just like the Fanatics thing. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Amazon Dealy Doodle, and it'll take you straight there. No funny stuff. And it's a great way to support the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. Also, remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us some feedback. That feedback is most helpful and helps us keep the show as the number one Detroit Lions podcast. And don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Any change you can spare is most appreciated, because you know what, guys? It all adds up in the end. And where else would you want it to add up? Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/the Detroit Lions Podcast, facebook.com/the Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter Baker at DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case
as a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah. Give us a call on Skype. It's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or find the old regular phone and do it on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure, in any of your spare time, to head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that subscribe link. Subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Well, I just sort of finished trying to drown myself in the shower after what was an extremely extremely frustrating game.
That would be a Lions thing to do, try to drown yourself in the shower. The bathtub tends to work a little more, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, you Lions your own suicide.